Remember, you can help us out by telling three friends about the show. Get them to subscribe through iTunes or subscribe through iTunes yourself. I need those numbers. And don't miss Cairo Knife Fight during their Australian and New Zealand tour. Information available at CairoKnifeFight.com.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast. You can give us a call at 877-222-8323. Leave us a voicemail there, unless you're listening live right now. It will not go to the voicemail. Butcher Drew trying to leave a voicemail, evidently, and frustrated because the phone was active. First world problems, Butcher Drew. Go fuck yourself with your tiny penis. I never read this email. Well, let's do this first.
You've got mail.
What's this? A letter. For me.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
I thought you were going to hit the asshole button.
Asshole.
I can't remember if I read the email that he sent in. It might have gotten lost in the shuffle. I mean, I know. I read every email that comes through.
Fantastic.
But sometimes I'm not good at producing my own show, if you would. And so I'd forget to set it aside. But one of the things that I enjoyed was that he was trying to help us by promoting the show to someone else. And then that was the show I decided to comment and say he had a small penis. And so now everybody, I guess, that he works with is they're like, oh, this is great. Yeah, but they love it for all the wrong reasons. And so for that, I am truly sorry. But here's some other comments that came to us via Facebook. And it says, this is from the last episode that we did with Jessica Glassberg. This is Leticia, who says, I'm just getting into this episode, so let's talk pee and poo. I only have one boy, but when we have play dates with his 5-year-old friends, it is all the poop on your head gets smashed with the pee on the bike pedaling down the street. I had to drive them having this convo once, and honestly, I just let it go. I think boys will just do this. I just have to laugh. And my favorite part is that, you know, Jessica mentioned that there's a poop emoji now, and so Leticia put like 5 of those like they were exclamation points. Justin, this is, I think, from your 50th birthday episode. Justin Mespelt, who he wrote in, and this is a quote from you that he likes, and he wants it on a T-shirt. He says, if you haven't got to it, you ain't going to get to it, son.
Yes.
And then I mentioned, I believe I put it on one of the pre-show things early, and then I meant to mention this as well, but then I couldn't do it. And so I talked to him via, but there was a very generous donation provided by a gentleman by the name of Mike. For anybody who's been listening for the show, especially when we started taking calls, we started calling him HVAC Mike. He gave me this is HVAC Mike. I was on the show several episodes ago. I really enjoy your work. When you mentioned this episode is sponsoring by the donation, could you please give my company an ad as well? So I'm going to do better than a pre-roll. I'm going to do a live read.
Great. Buckle up, people.
Grove Heating and Cooling, and they serve the Maryland area. So if you are in Maryland and you're like, fuck, I'm too cold, or fuck, I'm too hot, or fuck, I'm not hot enough, fuck, I'm not cold enough.
Yeah.
Then you know what you need to do. You need to have, because it's like having, you can have any guy.
Yeah.
Anybody could come in and fix your air conditioning, but you don't know what kind of quality service you're going to get.
Exactly.
You never know.
That's the problem.
Now, maybe to people outside of our listenership would probably be concerned about his character because of the show. But if you listen to the show already, you know you're having a like-minded heating and air conditioning guy.
Exactly.
We should have like a Jenny's list or whatever of contractors that could go around and serve people so you know you're getting good people who believe in yelling at their children.
You could do Dad Podcast Jenny's List. Absolutely.
I'm actually meeting with our web guy in the next couple weeks that we are going to build. Hopefully, we are going to build a message board for you guys to be able to interact and set up meeting points
and all that stuff.
So
now, tell me again, what's the name of his company? What's the name of
Grove Heating and Cooling in the state of Maryland.
In Maryland. What I'm going to do, take it one step further and say, if the people listening to my voice are not in the Maryland area,
move.
Get your asses over there.
Get over there.
Yeah, get your fucking HVAC stuff straightened out where it should be straightened
out. Right. Or you know what you could do? If you're like me and you have Southwest miles, bring a mic to you.
Boom.
Why not? Why not fly the guy out? Yeah. You know what I mean?
He can be right there for a live read.
Also, Howard, he sent in a $24. Yes, thank you very much. $100 he donated.
That's fantastic.
So Howard sent in a donation as well, which looked like, at first glance,
yeah,
I thought it was the $24 a year. Some people do it through the automated PayPal thing.
Right.
Other people do it. They have, I guess, a reminder in their own calendar because they'll just re-up through just a flat rate donation.
Yeah.
And Howard actually mentioned in his note when he sent in his donation, he says, not my annual support. This is for drinks on an upcoming show. You choose what's best for Paco.
I love it.
Now, people, we are not going to kill Paco, okay?
Yeah, the chat room on the last episode we did, they were like, whiskey. Oh, they were just pushing and pushing. Shot.
You poor son of a bitch. All right. Now, you had mentioned when we were, people listening to this as a podcast, these are all stockpiled episodes. The first week of June, the Dear Paco is on a wonderful trip. So this is coming out on Sunday. So you will have just returned from said trip? Yes.
I will be, what day of the week is that?
Sunday.
No, I'm coming back on the Friday.
Oh, so Friday. So you will be at home for 48 hours by the time they're hearing this as a podcast.
I will have decompressed from being
Is mom gone back to the East Coast?
Yeah, you don't have to do the Heil Hitler when you mention
She's not
her.
German? No, she's not into
well,
that?
Well, she is actually.
Okay, see?
We are.
I know what I'm doing.
Dooley! The Wasser.
She's Wasser. That's right. She's the maiden.
The maiden name. No, it planned. I think it will be a lovely time. She, Diego, and I are going down Joshua Tree, and by the time you hear this, I'll have pictures and adventures that there won't be time to tell you about. But you can check in with me privately, maybe I can share some there. Look for a book or, of some kind or another. But I interrupted you. You were going somewhere.
I wanted to go back to this real quick because in the chat room, some people, I think, I don't know if they were talking to me or talking to themselves, but somebody commented about how they were being interact with us. I think is what somebody said. But I try to interact with you, but it can be distracting because we have right now we have 11 people listening live. Sometimes we have 25, somewhere it hovers between 18 and 30, you know, usually. And so to interact with 30 people when you're trying to entertain 2,000, just so you know, can be antithetical to the point of the show. But I did like this story that Cad Monkey put in there. He said, so last night we're at a school function. In order to get all the kids on the risers, the teacher instructed them to turn and squeeze, at which point I started chuckling, repeated, and added a cough. Most of the guys around me laughed. My wife, not so much. He said, I'm still laughing, LOL. The other people in the chat room got a kick out of that. So you has said you had a disturbing dream, which I cannot wait. There's a morning show that I like listening to that had this thing, and he has this thing called You Hate to Hear It, and he starts playing the music, and it's usually some very macabre, gross story, and for whatever reason, the joke of that reminded me of this. This may be a thing that we hate to hear.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'd said I had a disturbing dream, and I'm a little, I feel a little anxious about sharing it with everybody, with you. No, I will. Okay. I will, because I had it, and I thought, this can't remain a secret.
Okay.
So, no, I
feel like we're digging deeper into a hole, but all right, buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
You will mark the future of this show as what happened before I talked about this dream, what happened after I talked about this dream. And in all fairness, it was a little while ago, so it's starting to blur a little bit. But I remember the important part of it, which was that in this dream, you were part of the dream.
Okay.
And I've never had you in any part of my dream before.
You don't have to lie. It's just us. It's just us and 11 other people.
Well, I think you may be wishing I was lying before another minute or two goes by.
Boy.
So here's the
thing.
Hold
on. Let me get my finger on the edit button.
You're going to need it.
We don't have an edit button. Oh, shit.
Oh, no. It was very strange because it became apparent to me as we were, I don't know even what we were doing with each other, talking or whatever it was, I don't know, that you had a vagina.
Oh.
That was not entirely obscured in this dream.
So I'm just letting it flap. Now, Is it not obscured because I this vagina is new and I'm not sure how to wear it in a skirt? Or is it because I have beef curtains hanging at about knee level?
That's not how it was flapping.
I see. Okay. All right.
It was just, you know, it was one of those things where, is this a malfunction? How aware of you are this? How aware of it are you? Okay. See, I can't even talk.
See, I'm oblivious to my own mangina.
Possibly, yes.
Possibly. We don't know.
But then as the dream continues and I'm thinking, holy cow, he's got a vagina. And, yeah. I have to say, I'm not disinterested in the fact that you have a vagina.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that you also are a voluptuous woman, that you have the rest of the goods. Now, it's not like your face is necessarily
What would you say is my cup size?
I would say, I don't know how to do that, but I would say a couple of good cantaloupes.
Yeah. So like a firm C. Or even solid C?
Oh, a solid C.
Like
yes,
a full
probably.
C. I think probably. At least.
I thought you said seed. I'm like, look. We haven't gotten there yet. No.
We're about to fuck in this dream.
No, we're not. We're not.
Hold on. Yeah? Tell me more.
No.
Tell me more about my vagina, Paco. Tell me more about my vagina!
I don't want to actually say aroused.
Okay.
That I was aroused.
Oh, was I aroused? Is it like a rain cloud down there?
I don't think so.
More of a swamp? Were there mosquitoes hovering?
This may not be bad enough for you, but it was just that I was under your spell. I was being pulled in by this your vagina and this voluptuousness that
I feel
had.
Like right now, other than me having a vagina and voluptuous tits, it's like you're speaking directly to the moms that listen to this show.
It could
you know
be,
what I mean?
Yeah, it could be.
They're sitting, you know, all the guys are already commenting in the chat room. They're like, what the fuck is going on? But the moms have now, with their earbuds, they're like, you know, elbows on a table and head in hands and going, yes.
You know what I'm thinking
preach
of?
It, Paco,
I'm
tell
thinking
us.
Of like, you know, J-Lo sometimes wears these sort of almost jungly type things.
Yeah, that's
like,
what
like
I was
one
wearing.
Of those that show, you know, low cut and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then you sort of.
Well, if you
of,
got cantaloupes, you want to use them, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. What's that honeydew? I think is actually even better because it's a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
I think they were honeydews.
And more matching in flesh tone. You know, you don't want a textured.
Right.
You don't want your tits to be like stucco.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That could be off-putting.
No.
Although, if you're going to titty fuck someone, not an abrasive, you know what I mean, the stucco, but like just the
well, ribbed for pleasure.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like there's a little, I don't know, I've never humped anything with friction. Really.
I understand.
Anyway, back to me again?
Yeah, back to you. So somehow you got modest or you realized and you covered up.
You covered yourself. I declare, my mangina is showing. Did I have a fan?
And my bitter disappointment was palpable.
Yeah.
I had
obscured my vagina from your viewing enjoyment.
Exactly. I was very, very disappointed. And that's about all that happens in the dream. But that was disturbing enough. And now that I hear you talking about maybe you're going to... Oh, never mind. You said that off the air.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I can't go there. Sorry, dude.
Thanks for that.
I'm really sorry.
you know what's hilarious is that now I'm debating if I could even go back and contextually handle what you just put out there. Giving the climate of generalization that's going out, you know what I mean? That it's like decathletes and internet celebrities all getting sex changes.
Right. It's too confusing. But in any case,
you kind of put me in a pickle, for lack of a better term. There,
no, don't worry. Yeah, I
can handle it.
I'm
figuring it out.
And I just wanted to stress to everyone who's listening that sex dreams aren't about sex.
No.
Please let them not be about sex.
No, this one is, though.
And you and I
not all of them are, but this one is. I see what you're saying.
We've had a lot of
sex
talk. We've had a lot of talk about
our... We've had oral sex. Fair to say?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, if that's what you would call it.
In a sense,
yeah.
I have orally fucked your ears for almost a year now.
You have orally pleasured many of us.
Yes, I have. Are you listening, ladies?
There you go.
This is where the show gets to be all
we've talked
for
a lot
the ladies.
About our femininity.
Yes.
And it just feels like this is
a visual
extension.
For lack of a better term, blossomed.
Yes, exactly.
I blossomed into a... I look forward to like... 10 years from now, seeing you know, now my vagina has aged.
Well, at least maybe I didn't imagine you as a Dr. Ruth or a Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
I was an attractive honey dude breast lady.
You were J-Lo.
Did I have my normal haircut and gray hair, or was it just like was it like me doing an Adam Sandler where I'm playing myself?
No,
just with bazooms.
It was more like there was a metamorphosis because, frankly, I was paying a lot
of
attention.
Like a butterfly, I came out of the cocoon with a vagina.
It was
boobs.
Sort of like I was talking to you, you, and then as my gaze dropped down and I found your amazing treasure.
My amazing treasure.
By the time my eyes came back up, you know, you're like, my eyes are up here.
It has to be asked. What did I do? Did I go Hitler mustache, landing strip?
That's a good question.
Full-blown Demi Moore?
I think that it was, I don't want to say, I want to say it was tight.
Yeah.
In all the ways, in all the good ways.
So it's manicured, but not, you know, childlike.
Decorated. Not decorated.
No topiary.
I didn't put it.
How great would it be if I could have done like your little animatic that you have for your Twitter? Right. So, you know what I mean? Like a little bald guy with glasses and a goatee down there.
Or just like a microphone.
Oh.
It was just she cut into the shape
talking
of a microphone.
Talking to the microphone.
Yeah.
You got to get right up on that thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, my God.
All of our listeners have left.
I knew somehow you would make it worse, but I also knew I couldn't go
without
Cher.
We actually picked up one more listener live since that happened. My only hope is that it's somebody who just happened upon us on MixLR and goes, oh, what's this dad podcast about? You had a vagina and honeydew-sized melons, and I was so dismayed when you removed it from my view.
I would just like to say that regarding this new listener that joined us live, the authorities should be notified.
Yeah. Please make it so.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for indulging me. I'm thoroughly embarrassed.
So... so the other thing Natalie had to text this to me. We had a night where we were going to bed, and it's just, I think that we all can relate to this on some level. Let me go back. Here we go. So this is the notes that she says, this thing with my pillow. Oh, that's the thing I already talked about with Jacob. That was that. So Natalie and I were going to, you were doing our bedtime ritual.
Okay.
And I think many people, this is great. This is a great transition out of the previous conversation. You know, you do your teeth brushing and you're kind of in the same bathroom. And I feel like everybody has this moment in their relationship where you realize you have had a milestone, if you would. You have transitioned from being the young people, you know what I mean?
Right.
Where it's like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, you're flippantly deciding. You know, a person in their early 20s, I imagine, when you first move in, and maybe you're married or maybe you're living in sin, I don't care, but that you flippantly are deciding, do I want to have sex tonight? Are we going to, you know what I mean?
Well,
and you kind of think it's cute. Sometimes you're like, do you want to do it? I don't know. You know, then that's the next step.
Yeah.
Well, this, we've reached some level of geriatric.
God.
We jumped a decade and a half or two decades upstream because she said, do you need to blow your nose? And I said, no, I'm good. I took my Flonase. She said, okay. Now, no humor, no giggling.
This is
deadpan serious.
This is foreplay.
Yes. Deadpan serious. Me going, no, I took my Flonase. I'll be fine. And then she opens the window. She goes, I'm really enjoying the window being
jumps
open.
Out.
You know, exactly. Falls the 3 feet. But so then she said, what was the other? So we're in bed. And then she goes, I'm really enjoying the window.
Go slower. Give me some music.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really enjoying the music. The window being open at night. I open it for the boys. I think I said, oh, well, that's good. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then she says, what was the other? Then she goes, and then what happens is that when I wake up at 5 a.m. to go pee, I shut the windows.
Yeah.
So that the birds don't wake us up.
Uh-huh.
And I found that's where the first laugh came in, because I found it incredibly incredibly amusing that she is waking up to shut the windows so the birds don't wake her up 45 minutes later.
Right.
Now, I clearly can understand that she goes back to sleep and then the birds wake her up again. But again, as we talked about earlier this week, I was saying that I could just sleep. It doesn't matter. The gardeners could show up, and I will just sleep through it. That stuff doesn't bother me. But I was wondering, just to put it out there, is that if you ever, and people listening live in the chat room, if you want to, or want to call in 877-222-8323 and weigh in on said topic, but have you ever had a moment where you feel like you and the dear Luna are speaking to each other like a couple of old people?
Oh my God, we've been doing that for years.
No, really? Have you guys, lives together?
We haven't had the Flonase conversation yet, but absolutely, no, as you were setting it all up, I was thinking about how in our 20s, there's this like it's like a teeter totter, reverse, whatever. Is that you know, in the beginning of the relationship, the amount of time you're interested in spending in the personal grooming before you get into the humping is minimal.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, wipe a rag over it and then get in there, whatever it is, right? And then as it drags on, as the relationship drags on, it starts to switch. And so that you're spending more and more time in the grooming and the, you know, she spends 35 or 40 minutes getting ready for bed now. I can't keep a boner for that long. So
you start getting lightheaded.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't know if that's part of her plan. That I fall asleep while I'm waiting for her. But, you know, it doesn't work if I jump in there in the middle because she'll get the makeup remover in her eye, you know, as I'm thumping her from behind. So
it's such a romantic.
I know.
Well, that's to even add to my story is that this wasn't even like there was no coitus involved. This is just
I'm sorry.
Getting ready to go to sleep. No, it would
Thought you, when I said foreplay, I thought that was you getting ready. Like, she wanted to make sure you could breathe before you got on top of her.
Not even. And she also, we were getting a giggle, stupid, boring giggle about how she was saying, your nose, is it stuffy? Like, she has to say stuffy, like it's there's an exclamation point in it, like in the middle of it. Stuffy.
Yeah.
It was just, there was no coitus. It was conversation about random old
things. Then you have caught up with me if there was no coitus. We're neck and neck. I can't tell you how happy it makes me to hear that you didn't get laid on one occasion.
Having sex every night?
I don't know. You come in and you say twice in one, you know, whatever.
You need to stop looking at me through your window.
Well, tell me.
And start creating a calendar whenever I mention it, because you'll realize it's maybe two times a week, if that.
Well, don't get me started. But here's the tactical error that you've made.
Yeah.
You've actually, people talk about oversharing and so on and so forth. You're sitting across from a guy who has a reputation for being creepy with regards to stalking you and your family.
Okay, yeah, that you do have a
reputation. Yeah, seriously. And you've just let me know that your wife is throwing the window open every night.
No, the window, that's how I know it's on. That's the new subconscious symbols. When the window stays shut, because she doesn't listen.
Okay, you.
I make her make a lot of noises.
The idea that this information is not stuff you should be giving to me. Because now, when the window is closed,
yes,
that'll be the hanger on the doorknob, and I'll be in the bush.
Please don't ever do that, because I have a shotgun in my closet, and if I see a silhouette, I will accidentally kill my.
Now you've mentioned the shotgun several times, and at first I thought you made a passing reference probably 4 or 5 episodes ago to your Amazon shotgun arriving in the mail or something like that,
right?
And I didn't know whether or not you were being serious, and then you made a subsequent joke about it being in the closet.
Yes.
And then you made a joke about let them come for me, daddy's packing, that kind of thing. So I wanted to clarify once and for all that, in fact, you are loaded for bear.
I am an American. Not for bear. I would let a hairy gay guy into my house. I feel like I would not be. I don't know if that's homophobic.
Hey, you may already have let follically challenged gay guy
into my house.
Yeah.
As long as it's like a vamp. No. So I don't know if it's worth going into, but the a while ago, Natalie had a situation with somebody at her job where a customer became upset.
Yeah.
And threatened her. And she was kind of concerned. And it was nothing to be concerned about.
Right.
We live in a very, very nice neighborhood. And so I kind of made mention.
And plus she got Rocky.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. I mean, here's the thing. That Rocky is that dog that I think everybody looks at and says, I don't know. He would never do anything. He's got a big bark and he sounds like a mean dog. But he has honestly never been tested except for once. There was one time when he was younger and I was gone. Natalie was walking by himself and there was just a guy who was creepy. And Natalie didn't like the vibe that he was giving off. And he came up to Natalie, like approached her from across the street. And he said, oh, is your dog friendly? And reached out, and Rocky went, oh, and like snapped at the guy.
Wow.
And she goes, normally he is. I'm sorry about that. He was like, no, no, it's cool. And then he immediately went away. And I was like, great, right. Dog did his job. But right. Rocky is aging. And the nice thing about a 12 gauge is it does not die on you.
Right, right.
And you only have to feed it 12 gauge buckshot right. five times. And then it's yeah. a done deal.
And it's never going to need diabetes medication.
No,
like
no,
that.
It's never going to. No. I never have to drop it off at the vet. I rub some $6 oil on it every there now and go. Then, and then I That's rub some on my yeah, gun exactly. too. It's, yeah. Well, it's funny because I was talking to my dad about it, and I bought a cleaning kit to clean it.
Yeah, we're back on the gun now.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And so he goes, well, I said, what do I have to do? He goes, oh, if you ever handle it, just rub it down with some gun oil. And I said, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, the cleaning kit I bought didn't have gun oil in it, and so I look online to Amazon, and there was gun oil, which is for a gun, and then there's gun oil sexual lubricant.
Oh.
And don't think I did not want to make that an added purchase or whatever they call it, an right. add-on purchase.
Right, yeah.
I was like, because I don't know. What does it smell like gunpowder? Because I like the idea of, you know what I mean, my genitals having kickback, you know yeah, what I mean? I like right. the idea of the lube somehow or making it smell like gunfire. Like when I reach climax, do yeah. you smell that afterburn of like fireworks?
The sulfur and the...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I like that idea if it can really do that,
yeah.
but I don't know that it does. So yeah, I bought...
And yeah, if you're ejaculating sulfur, you might want to consult a priest.
I think you're doing it right.
No, I think you might want
no,
to
you think I have a demon
in.
Inside
yeah.
me?
I know you have a demon inside you.
But yeah, so that's... And I know, here's the... It's a weird thing to bring it back to parenting. It is a weird thing for me to deal with because I know I've had conversations before I got this where there yeah. are people who have said that if somebody has a gun in the house, they won't allow their children to come over to
be
that
in the house.
Yes, no. to be in that house with the person. And so I don't like, and here's the thing. I've jokingly said it, not intentional. It's not like, hey, here's a subtle hint. I honestly think I should stop joking about it, to be honest. But I also want, because I grew up with guns, and I don't want my kids to be afraid of
right.
them, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well,
and I also
you want them to have a healthy respect for what yes. a gun is capable of.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do mean not afraid in the sense, I mean, yeah, obviously if somebody's pointing a gun at them, I don't right. want them to be like, come get some.
Yeah, right. In the same way, there are saws in your garage.
Exactly.
And they
Power
need
tools.
To understand how right. those work. Those are dangerous things.
Because when it's no secret that my son will play Call of Duty. And so when I said, we went and got a pepper spray thing for
yeah.
Natalie.
Yeah.
And at the Army surplus store. And since then, by the way, if anybody is interested in this, and maybe I could talk about this next time my dad's on the show, because he was the one who recommended. He's got a concealed carry. My dad does.
Oh, wow.
So anytime you see my father in the state of California, he is packing. That is a guarantee.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He does not leave the house without a 9mm pistol at his side like he is fucking Serpico, that man.
Okay.
So don't fuck with him is the point.
Well, none of us are planning to.
But he used to, this comes from, he used to work late at night at hospitals, and one time he had this group of guys that were trying to mess with him in a party. I don't know who decides to pick a fight with a guy but he's put a 357 slug in the engine block of an El Camino because guys were trying to run him down in a
wow.
parking lot.
Wow.
So anyway, because we were talking about before about perspective and everything.
Yeah.
My dad isn't quite Charlton Heston, but what was great about the story of the purchasing of the shotgun is you have to, in the state of California, you have to get what they call a fire safety certificate, an FSC. So you have to take a 30-question test, and you can't miss any more than 7, and then that gives you the ability to purchase a gun,
yeah.
and then you can come back and get said gun in, I believe it's 2 weeks. So there's always this cooling off period. So if I want to kill a person because they cut me off, I have to wait 10 days to do it because they think
right.
that will bring me back to an emotionally stable level. But
yeah,
when we're there, there's an older guy who comes in. He's probably in his 60s.
Yeah.
And he comes in, and he goes, oh, you got the Magnum. And it was a gun that would shoot a bullet at 3,000 feet per second.
That's yeah, yeah,
it
was. Yeah.
So they didn't have it. And so then he saw that I was taking the test. He's like, oh, he goes, how many did you miss? And I go, oh, I missed 2. And he was like, oh, what ones were they? And it was one that I didn't know that if you were convicted of a felony, you can never own a gun in America.
Okay.
And then I didn't know when you could get a handgun. Like there's a certain age limit also for a handgun. You
oh.
can get a gun. I believe it was 18, but a handgun you can't own until 25.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he starts talking to my dad and said, you know, talking about hunting and all this stuff. And then he says, oh, I'm thinking about getting a boat. And he says, it's up in San Francisco. And my dad was like, oh, where's it parked? And he says, oh, it's at this, you know, marina. And my dad goes, oh, I took a test to get a license to sail it. My dad's like a fucking Renaissance man. He's licensed to sail a 35-foot yacht. If there is more reason to believe he's a badass, my dad has flown to the Bahamas and then just rented a boat and just sailed willy-nilly around the Caribbean, wow, going to wherever the fuck he wants to go. And so this guy hears about this and he's like, he goes, you want to go on a trip with me? And my dad's like, what do you mean? He goes, I'll buy the boat. I don't know how to drive it. This is great. Wow. He goes, we could go up to Alaska and go hunting. There's so much cool stuff up there. And so my dad was like, oh yeah. He goes, oh, we go to Mexico. Oh, this would be so much fun. And so my dad's like, all right, sure. So my dad gives him his email and his cell phone number. And I said, are you really going to call that guy? And my dad goes, why the fuck not? And I said, and I go, that's really kind of cool. He goes, well, if there's one thing that will bring people together, it's guns. And I said, and I would imagine specifically in Southern California, because they're not as popular. Right. Because his whole bitch was that he says that he maintains his residency in Arizona because it's easier for him to get a firearm there than it is, especially here in Southern California. So blah, blah, blah. That's my gun story. Who gives a shit?
And you keep it in a closet.
I keep it in a closet.
To the parenting angle of it.
Yes.
It's kept in away from the kids, or are they aware?
Well, that's when I started down that path. When I said, the guy asked me at the surplus store, he goes, is there anything else? I said, you guys don't happen to sell shotguns, do you? And he goes, he says, no, but Big Five across the street, that's the best place. He goes, what are you getting it for hunting? I said, no, just home defense. And I said, to be honest, I live in a great neighborhood, so I don't even really need it. And right, he goes, oh, you'll get a great one over there at Big Five.
Yeah.
And so we went across the street and Jacob said, he goes, we're getting a shotgun like Call of Duty? And I went, no. I said, this is very, very different. I said, you point this and you shoot it at somebody, they are dead. There is no responding. Yeah. That is lights out.
Right.
I said, you guys are never to touch this. This is not something that you play with. And I said, when I was a kid, all day after school, because that's all they would talk about is kids shooting themselves and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so I said, you can't do that. And they, you know, they wanted to see it. I showed it to them and all that stuff. But then they don't really care. They're not, it's the same as it was when I was a kid. I think I'm sure a very touchy subject and I look forward to emails. But that I think this is one of those things that if you do kind of make a big deal out of it, then it becomes a big deal. And I just didn't want them to be afraid or anything like that.
Right.
And, I think my dad is really good about this stuff. And when they go up to the cabin the next time, he's got a little .22 rifle that he's going to let them shoot and get used to and stuff like that. So they get their aim down when they take me out with my own shotgun, I guess. But the thing I want to say about the pepper spray, for anybody who wants to get one for themselves or for your wife or whatever, Ruger makes a really awesome pepper spray. And what makes it so awesome is you can get those $10 ones that have like a thumb flick switch that sprays, but it's a spray that can blow back at you, or it's a very specific spray that you have to hit a target.
Targeted, yeah.
Ruger makes one that it's a $35 thing, and it's in a holster. And when you pull it apart, it has this whoop, 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 whoop that starts going out. It has a flashing light that pulsates, and the only way you could take it out is and point it, it has to fire away from you. So you can never point it at yourself.
Okay.
And then you could spray it, and it's a kind of a jet of a mist, and it's a thicker thing, so it gets the guy that way.
I love the sound of that because for two reasons. One is that if a kid ever gets a hold of it, all of that noise and hoopla that happens before the pepper spray ever comes out is going to terrify them enough not to want to hang on to it deal with it. But it's also going to be it saves you the necessity of screaming as you pull out your spray, because it's making that same commotion that a car alarm will.
Yes.
And I imagine that
it
you might.
It actually makes the sound, which I found interesting. It makes the sound of a fire alarm, like a smoke detector. It's that.
Right,
when you're thing
it's
annoys
a different,
you,
when much, you're much more
making Thanksgiving dinner.
So that sounds terrific. I wish I felt more unsafe, or that my wife did. But I definitely think your wife should have it.
Let's see. I had a great uncle who was killed as a young boy because they were playing with their dad's shotgun. No guns in my house. This is Aaron from El Paso. So see, not everybody in Texas is all
over
the guns.
Well, that is surprising.
Yeah.
That is surprising.
And
he
that's
must
the
be
thing.
There on some sort of special pass.
She's on some kind of like furlough.
Yeah.
Some kind.
Or they've allowed her to remain in the state. But
they had a meeting at the government. We need to get some liberals in here. Yeah. All these gun-toting folks are messing up our situation. We're getting a reputation, y'all. So, listen, I'll be honest with you. My intent is not to make anybody feel uncomfortable or anything like that. And if you want to send me an email telling me your dark story about your mishap with a gun, you are more than welcome to. Blah, 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 yakety schmackety. So let's, what was the other thing that I was teasing? Oh, so the thing I was teasing before we started doing this episode was that one day, a couple weeks ago, Jacob had to go to school with the early bird, which is the usual drop-off time.
Yeah, right, right.
At 8:15 instead of his late bird 9:15 a.m. time. So we go there and we're waiting for the gate to open. The gate opens and there's like a group of kids that have been dropped off waiting.
Yeah.
So Jacob has this very adorable thing, as you saw me in the picture in the background, waiting by the entrance. I wait by the entrance. He walks about halfway down past this kind of a walkway between the portables.
It looks a little bit like Stalag 17.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's like agree. World War II prison camp where they have the bungalows and so on and so forth.
Yeah, there's bungalows on either side, and then it opens up into the big playground. So he walks halfway down, and he waves and says, "Bye, Dad, I love you." I say, "I love you, too. Have a good day." And then he goes at the end again, and he says, "Bye, Dad, I love you." And I said, "I love you, too." It's this little kind of ritual thing he does. Well, speaking about a moment that I wish I had a shotgun, the we get halfway down there and there's these two kids that look like they're fifth graders.
Yeah.
And they're right next to him. And one of them is the douchiest of douchey kids. You know what I mean? He's wearing like a fucking Kango hat and his backpack is covered in spikes like he's fucking cooler than he needs to be. And then there's another kid right next to him who looks like a regular suburban, like right out of Central Casting kid.
Yes.
Okay. Jacob turns around and says, "Bye, Dad, I love you." And they smell this like a pack of wolves.
No.
And they turn and look at him. And then they go, "Bye, Dad, I love you."
Right.
And I had to resist the urge to run into that fucking room and grab that little shit whistle by the neck and go, why don't you pick on somebody like me? If you know what I mean? Like, if you want to get out of your age bracket, let's fucking dance, Toto. And So I kind of was like, what I wanted to honestly do, and all no joking, is I want to go, "Hey!" like that, but I was afraid because I know Jacob doesn't like to be the center of attention. We're working on it.
Yeah.
But, so I didn't want to make it to where now there's these two kids and he's had stuff where kids have done something that's not so nice, but it kind of rolls off his back because
it's the same idea as when they fall and hit the, in their knee, you don't want to react.
Yes.
Particularly you, but that's a style of, of parenting.
Yes. I make an effort to, I shun them.
Yeah. Actually, I would suggest that maybe sometimes you even push them.
Yes. I push them down. Well, they don't have opportunities to feel pain and grow.
Right.
So anyway, he does it and I'm like sitting there and I'm in my head. I'm enraged. I'm almost like breaking into a sweat because that fucking Eastern European middle-aged bitch is standing next to the gate this one goddamn time. Because if she wasn't, I would have just walked in and not been mean, but just said, "Hey, man. Honestly, knock it off. It's not, you know what I mean? Like,
it's not cool.
Because I know that the kid, he thinks he's in the school, so the real world rules don't apply, and he's king of the castle. And so I just wanted to kind of say, like, because all I want to do is that, I'm not the guy who's like, "Oh, anti-bullying." Like, I do honestly, I'm not like, listen, I'm not saying all. I'm saying that the idea of having one kid who roughs you up a little bit when you're, that can do some people some good. You know what I mean? I'm not the guy who, because it's like Carolla on his show has told a story when his kid was in like first grade. He says he was talking, he came home from school and he said, "I was bullied today." And he goes, "Well, what happened?" He goes, "I was talking to my friend and he put his hand over his ears and said he didn't want to hear me."
Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? That's too
right,
far.
Right, right. No,
you know what
I understand.
But hazing and, like, you know, especially like homophobic bullshit, all that, fucking destroy those children.
Right.
Reverse destroy their self-esteem, in my opinion. But anyway.
And really what it comes down to in all likelihood is that this boy doesn't have a father who expresses his love for him.
Yes.
And so seeing it somewhere else and so on and so forth is so threatening and makes him feel so empty inside. But I still think we should punish him for that.
Yes.
I mean, quite aside from, hey, so on and so forth, the part of me says, you're not allowed or supposed to step over the line, but the bitch in the orange vest can.
Yes.
And you need to turn to her and say, get him.
No.
We're all going to meet in the office.
I couldn't, because then I become that guy too. This is the other part of it. It's like the doctors getting priority parking at the hospital. That I've never seen any place where the employees get better parking than the customers. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's that kind of thing where, because she's already pulled this shit with me where, It's like if I say now I'm she unfairly paints me with the brushstroke of that guy when in right. actuality I'm just that guy who's expecting you to do your fucking job instead of pulling out an 8x10 of your 37-year-old son and his wife. Yeah. She pulled out a fucking framed 8x10 out of a bag to show it to me one morning.
I'm sorry, who is this she?
This is the yard duty.
The yard duty.
Yeah, and I'm like, what? Right. I go, oh, and I'm polite. I go, oh, that's cool. Oh, lucky you. And you know, but I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
And so I'm just kind of sitting there and I'm like, it all happened pretty quick. And then, and Jacob kind of, I could tell, looked at him and then he goes back and I thought he wasn't going to do it. And the only thing that really bothered me in that moment was that he would feel ashamed to say that he loved me and fear that I would yeah. be upset at him for it. That's right, what I was, right, right, right. That's all I want to say. It's like, if he didn't, I wouldn't care and I would get it.
Yeah.
And so he turns around again and he says, bye, Dad. I love you. And so that's when, because I could only see the back of him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, oh, he doesn't fucking care, right? And so then the kid goes in again and goes, you're weird. He goes, oh, bye, Dad. I love you. And he like looks to his friend, and even his friend is kind of like, what's your deal, man? Like, right. he kind of does one of these, right? Right? Well, here's where it gets fucking weird for me. Jacob takes his right turn to go get in line in kindergarten. The other kids keep going straight, but I can't hear anything at this point. And then the kids look back at Jacob a couple times and go, bye, Dad, I love you. And that I can hear.
Yeah.
Then the asshole kid breaks away and starts coming towards where Jacob has disappeared around the corner.
Yeah.
So I immediately walk around to the other side of the bungalows, and I can't see anything.
Right, I know.
So I'm looking at other kids to see if there's a tussle or something like that, because I don't want to overreact. And, right. I'm telling myself, everything's fine.
Yeah.
You don't freak out. Stay calm. And so I'm just sitting there, and I didn't see Jacob, and then I kind of look, and then the kids were going in, but there were yard duties there in that vicinity. And so I'm like, maybe he's there with a couple friends, because I also didn't know where he lined up.
Yeah.
So, and I couldn't find him in the mosh of kids, so I was like, it's going to be fine, otherwise you'll get a call from the school. At some point,
right.
everybody goes through this shit, is what I had to tell myself.
Yeah, yeah,
so I walk away. Here's where I thought it was great. I came home and I told Natalie because I was fired up. I was really fired up.
Oh, my God. I'm. It's all I can do to remain in my seat right now.
Yeah. And so she was like, oh, my gosh. And you know, we kind of calm each other down a little bit. And then when he picks him up.
Then she closes the window.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
We fornicate. when I pick him up from school, he comes out and I go, I want to talk to you about something today because he looked unaffected.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know if I go, did it, remember those kids that were, you know, kind of making fun of you because you said you loved me or whatever? And he was like, yeah. I go, did that bother you? And he said, he goes, yeah. I said, did it upset you? Did it hurt you? And he was like, it made me angry is what he said. And I said, you know, that's more than fair. I said, that's totally fine. I said, I just want you to know that two things. I said, there is nothing wrong with you saying that you love me.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And if he decides to make fun of you for it, I said, the honest truth is more than likely it's because he doesn't know that his dad loves him or doesn't feel comfortable saying it back to him. I said, everybody interacts with each other differently.
Right.
And I said, he probably doesn't feel good about himself.
Yep.
And so that's what he's trying to do. And then Jacob kind of looks at me and he goes, so he's sad? I said, in a way, yeah. I said, in a way, he has to feel sad because it doesn't make sense for a fifth grader to pick on a kindergartner.
No, it's yeah, that kid's got a...
Yeah. And I said, so there's nothing wrong. I go, I want to make sure that you understand there is nothing wrong with you. You didn't do anything weird or wrong.
Yeah.
I said, there is something wrong with him. And that's the God's honest truth. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I was going to punch him. And I said, and I go, as far as your father's concerned, you would be well within your rights to clean his fucking clock. I said, but when you punch a fifth grader, you have to be prepared for the consequences.
I think that's a children's book, When You Punch a Fifth Grader.
Yeah. Jeff Foxworthy co-wrote it. I said, let me tell you, son. I go, you start at the nose and you just keep working until somebody pulls you off of him. I said, because if he gets a chance to come back, I said, he's going to be bigger than you. He goes, well, that's why I didn't. He goes, because I knew he was bigger than me. He goes, if he was a kindergartner, I would have gone after him. I said, fair to say. I said, just so you know, the preferred way, though, is to say, hey, knock it off. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
But if the kid decides to come after you, then whatever. So that was kind of where we ended the conversation. He got a little welled up in his eyes, and I said, I'm really sorry. And I told him, I said, I wanted to yell, but I didn't because I didn't want to embarrass you. And he said, that would have embarrassed me.
Okay.
And I said, well, now I know. Next time I will yell at a kid if he decides to mess with you or whatever. And he kind of smiled at it and laughed. And But then that night, I must have been doing something out here or something, but Natalie put him to bed, and Jacob told her the same story and said everything. Yeah. But here's what happened, and this is what made me – I got two stories about being very proud of this kid today.
Great.
He when that kid turned towards him, Jacob gave him a dirty look. He goes, I did this. He goes, I gave him my angry face is what he said.
That's funny.
He goes, and he walked towards me, and then I put my fist up like this.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, Mama, he took four steps back.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. That's awesome.
And so I told him
he said, this isn't over.
Yeah. And then he said, my dad has a shotgun. It was funny because I talked to him about it the next day and I said, I really think that's a good thing. I go, you shouldn't be afraid to defend yourself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I go, and there's a lot to be said about these people who feel so insecure in their own selves that they kind of come after you to compensate for it. I said that if you just stand up for yourself or let them know that it doesn't bother you. I told the story when I was in seventh, I got beat up a lot in junior high. And I told a story about this one kid who just came up to me randomly and said, your mom's a bitch. And I said, I go, do you not know who I am? And the kid goes, why the fuck should I know who you are? And like gets in my face. I go, I'm Justin Worsham. I go, do you not read the paper? And he goes, what? And now he's confused. And I said, I'm Modesto's only test tube baby. I don't have a mother. I was I was conceived in a little tube of glass. Like I go, so you're completely wrong in your statement. And he's just sitting there completely confused and like, just like, what? And I go, yeah, they put me in a test. That's where they did the whole thing. And he goes, well, who takes care of you? And I said, well, I have foster parents, kind of, you know. And then he goes, well, your foster mom's a bitch. I go, I hate that whore. And then he goes, man, fuck you. And he walks away.
Look, that's funny. That's funny. That's I do that with telemarketers.
Same thing. Same
thing. Yeah. They call and they say, you know, is Doreen Dooley there? And I go, she's not here. And if you find her, tell her kids are waiting for her.
Click.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah. Or I say she died, like, yesterday. If you'd called 2 days ago, you could have gotten her.
Sold her some home security.
That's great.
Oh, good times.
That's
good
funny.
Times.
Now, why wasn't that a moment of the week? That's incredible. Because you're so rich.
Yeah.
Not just
with your
palatial
estate. Some of these moments end up on the cutting room floor. It's hard. You know what I mean?
And I'm like a fucking miner who's looking for some dust as he
you have teenagers.
Sifts through the thing.
It's very different when you have teenagers. There's less opportunities for like milestone growth, that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
But on a similar, on a parenting thing, I think that I'm surprised this hasn't happened before. Maybe it has and I just never saw it because I was never prepping for a parenting podcast. But a man is suing his parents for $200,000 for not loving him enough. Bernard Bay, a homeless man from Brooklyn, New York, is suing his parents for not having loved him and supported him enough. He is actually asking for $200,000 in compensation. This is not a joke. 32-year-old Bernard Bay is an aspiring rapper from Brooklyn.
Oh,
he's also
Lord.
Homeless and blames his parents for his current situation. In a recent interview, he says he ran away from home when he was just 12 years old. Now, right there, that is period, end of story. If you have left your family, you can't really blame them, but he says because his family abused him both physically and verbally. Now, this is where this kind of stuff bleeds into the gray for me.
Yeah.
And he's been in and out of shelter system for the last 12 years. In the self-written lawsuit, Bay is asking for $200,000 in damages and demands his family mortgage their brownstone in Bedford-Stuyvesant or
Bed-Stuy is how it's referred
Stuy,
to
yeah,
by locals.
But Stuyvesant.
Bed-Stuyvesant.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's historically, that's a terrible, terrible. I mean, it's like a war zone. But that might be years ago.
But he wants them to mortgage to help him open two franchises. And he said, this is a quote from him, like Domino's Pizza.
Right.
So he wants them to help him. I don't feel like my parents love me. They aren't supportive. They're emotionally abusive, verbally abusive. The 32-year-old said, we don't have a family bond that a family should have.
He's 32 now.
Yeah.
I thought somehow he was 18 or 19.
Nope. He claims that when he went to his family's house, they made him wait for up to 45 minutes before letting him in. Why not start a family business and start securing wealth for ourselves? Anybody that's logical is not going to sit on an asset and let it deteriorate and live poor when they don't have to. Now, this is what I love.
Yeah.
These guys, this is where he kind of gets close to a little bit like my uncle in that he's like, where he starts going, let me explain to you, as somebody who's bounced around from homeless shelter to homeless shelter at 32 and hasn't quite figured out life, let me tell you what you should be doing financially.
Right, right.
This is where I always remember Dave Ramsey's advice of not taking financial advice from broke people. He claims claims that the extra $200,000 he's asking for would go to helping out the whole family because he's going to build a family business.
Right.
They're going to be Brooklyn's, you know, go-to people for Domino's Pizza.
Yeah.
Bernard's mother told reporters things are not like her son described. They are in no position to give him that kind of money, seeing as they are currently living in public housing themselves.
Yes.
And the Brooklyn building he's asking them to mortgage is only partly owned by them. She also says Bernard hasn't worked a day in his life and needs to go out and get a job.
When you say, when you began describing it, I thought, how quickly, like $200,000 to a rapper is like a morning. How long is that that cash going to last? Guy who's being in a spy, he's got to make it rain?
Yes.
You know, so
Everybody has that friend where they go, you kind of look at it and go, okay, you've been doing it your way.
Yeah.
And this is where it's gotten you. So I'm trying to say maybe try it this other way and not poo-poo, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
With my son in the home.
Teenagers,
homework.
I'm sure this is a day-to-day thing, you know what I mean?
You know better than me, and where has that gotten you?
Exactly. And that's where my father, and I wish, it's so funny because I was still in such a deep cocoon of teenage stupidity, but his thing always was, he said, you know, if you've got the world by the balls, how come you need to live in my house in order to survive? How come you need me to subsidize things for you? You know, because I'm just an idiot, is what he would say. she continues to say, I'm hoping that I can come to some type of I'm hoping that I can come to some type of resolution with my parents, and we don't have to go through this at all. I'm hoping we don't have to go to court for $200,000.
If they were only going to be reasonable.
Yeah. I would settle for 180. I mean, it doesn't have to be the full 200. We could just work together. Hell, a lunch at McDonald's would probably do me good.
Right.
He says, let's work together and definitely I'll drop the suit. Bernard's other family member said he has psychological issues.
This just in.
Exactly.
He's off his rocker.
Let's see. Yeah, let's do it. We've had a lot of heavy talk with guns and bullying and all that shit. Let's do something. We'll save this for another time. Here's something light. A little tip, if you would, that I found. Do you know how to hang a picture the right way? See, I didn't know there was a right way.
Either you talked to me about this in the hallway already. I mean, the driveway.
Maybe.
I can't remember. Go on.
If you're like most people, you hold it up to the wall, eyeball where it should go, then guesstimate where the nails need to be. I think I made a reference when we were talking with Jessica about how I need Natalie to tell me how things are level.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about. And then it's funny because after that, I found
it was subsequent to that. Oh, okay.
But you tend to hang things too high when you do it that way. Here's the trick art galleries use. The center of whatever you're hanging should always be 57 inches from the floor, as in center of the painting. Not where the nail goes, but the center of the painting.
Right. You have to adjust.
Yeah. That way the whole thing is at eye level and you don't have to crane your neck to look at it. If you or your family is taller or shorter than average, it doesn't have to be 57 inches. It can be anywhere from 56 to 60 to fit your eye line. Now, I know that we all listen to this and we're like, Justin, why the fuck would you waste my life and read this to me? And it's because I think that there are lots of things, which is this other article that I have. There are lots of little things that we can do.
I'm going to go home, by the way, and measure all my things.
You should.
Just to see where they end up.
Because here's the thing. We talk a lot about first world problems, you know what I mean, and everything.
Yeah.
And all I'm doing is I'm giving you a laser pointer of something to occupy yourself. Right. Even if you need that to be a distraction from, you know what I mean, from your day-to-day lives, it'll shake things up. And maybe I'm speaking too much. I'm doing a little whatever the psychological displacement is or whatever. But I always like these little kind of things that you do. And then I don't know why, but if I do this in my house and I'll look, because the real me is like, what the fuck? That's where the picture is. It's on the wall. I barely look at pictures of my children who I love more than anything.
Yeah.
I barely look at them.
Right.
But I don't know why. But if I did this, I feel like I'd be like, that's 57 inches, and I know. It's the same thing as why I like doing the fucking work around the house.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mow the lawn because I like to look at it and go, God, that looks fucking good. And I sweat for 10 minutes doing it. So here's another addition to those kinds of things. Here are 10 little things in life that make us happy. What's the one little thing in life that makes you happy? Someone posted that question on Reddit. Here are the 10 best answers we've seen. Number one, a shower with good water pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if I've ever had good water pressure. You know what I mean? Because what if there's a better water? It's like marriage. What if there's a better water pressure out there waiting for me that I've yet to enjoy?
Right.
I do know bad water pressure, which is very low, or I think one that we don't often give enough credit to, very high. Hotels are known for like high water pressure, not a Holiday Inn. That's a classy joint. Is that a child or a wife?
It was a child.
Okay. He's dying to have a Batman doodle jump. So that is probably why he's coming to have me put it on his.
Next time I'm going to give him the finger there.
Just exactly. Just flip him off. He'll laugh. Sleeping in your own bed after a trip. This one is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Fresh sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed? Here's what I've noticed. Every time, this will add to your window activities and festivities outside my house.
Yeah.
Every time I wash the sheets in my house,
yeah,
I get laid.
That's interesting.
So as soon as I clean them, I immediately soil them.
Right.
And which is great. And one would say, wash the sheets every day, but then they get faded. And then what if I abuse it? And then now it's not a thing. Right now, I have a trigger. I can pull it when I decide.
Right.
Can't abuse that power. With great power comes great response. Spider-Man taught us.
I heard that somewhere. Yeah.
Fresh bread with butter that's easily spreadable. I like his fresh bread, not so much, but I can. It's stupid. This is how great it is to be an American.
Yes.
Butter that's easily spreadable is a thing. Because how many times I've been angry when my wife will use we have cubes of butter for making cookies.
Right.
And then
you
I
have
get
the baking butter, the cooking butter, and then you have the spreadable butter. High five.
What's
here.
Up, there manginas? Unite! Getting a piece of food out of your teeth.
And giving it to someone in need.
Right. It's a gift that keeps giving.
It's not all about us.
Waking up for work and realizing it's Saturday. This is one that parents have not been able. That's the one where it's always funny how, you know, however bad your life is, how easy it is to make it a little bit better.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like when your kids go away with grandma and grandpa for a weekend, all you can think about is, I'm going to sleep in past 8 o'clock and I don't fucking care who knows it. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Of course, having my kids go off with grandma and grandpa would be a fantasy for me. I don't even get that. So,
well, you might also be concerned too. Like, although your kids could probably take care of grandma. And grandpa.
Well, that's
at
this point. Yeah.
When you're sick, this is a big one for me. When you're sick and you can suddenly breathe through your nose again.
Oh, yeah.
Afrin. I would listen if there was an addiction hospital for Afrin. For my doctor told me because when she gave me the Flonase that I use now, because it's sometimes just for allergies, I was just using Afrin. She goes, no, only use that when you have a flight. That stuff just dries everything out.
Oh, yeah.
But oh, my gosh. That's my ripcord. When I get frustrated and tired, Afrin up, bitches.
That's it.
Using the bathroom when you really have to go.
Which is every time.
I don't really agree with this one. If I've really had to go to the bathroom, there's always a repercussion. If I've waited too long, I get that ache in the kidney. Do you ever get that when you've waited too long to go pee?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
This is the difference between 35 and 50.
Okay.
About 10 years ago, I stopped waiting.
There's no wait?
No. So if I'm on my way to a very expensive therapy session, and if I walk in and ring the buzzer, I'm going to get my full money's worth, but I'm going to spend the entire time fighting the urge to pee or worse, I'll just get in and I'll just go straight to the bathroom first. 30 seconds of relief, and then I get to enjoy the rest of my life. So I just go now. I don't even mess around, but I understand the idea of it. There is a kind of a
thing that you literally will do sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a great one for, I think a lot of wives can relate to this one. Call me sexist, but I think it's just not all, of course. So if you're the one chick who drives, but it's Jesus Christ, who's blowing up my shit? Oh, Amazon is. We love Amazon.
Yeah,
never mind.
Right.
Keep buying stuff, people. Falling asleep on a road trip and realizing you slept through a huge chunk of it. Not so good if you're on the road. You're the one at the wheel.
The driver. Yeah.
But other than that, and then here's another one, hitting every green light. That one I don't really enjoy. I don't notice it.
Not so much here. I'll tell you where I'd have found pleasure in doing that is in New York City.
Oh, yes.
When you can see it's
green from
miles.
Because they got those grid.
And it's every corner has a effing light, and you're just boom, boom, boom. You're hitting them all the way up. That is very sweet.
Ooh, Indiana Andrew in the chat room says a brand new pair of socks. That is a very, very good one.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
We should drop socks on some of those third world places.
Right?
You know, just give them a little.
Give those to ISIS. Yeah. How could they be angry if they've got some good, you know what I mean? Those good cold cushions, arch supporting Hanes or whatever.
Yeah, and they might find a way to turn around some of their bullshit if they. If they were in, they had a little something. If, you know, send in people.
Turn around some of their bullshit.
Send in people to hang those pictures at 57 inches. I think you'd start to see some progress in certain corners of the world.
I couldn't agree with you more, but I just love the idea of Paco sitting in on some kind of UN summit and go, all right, guys, gather around. ISIS, you're
take
in the room?
Take a knee.
Okay, yeah, take a knee, ISIS. We're going to turn around some of your bullshit, all right? Sick of you. That's what we need. We need not varsity, because they're the ones really trying to win. We need a sophomore high school football coach.
Right, soccer coach.
And he will set ISIS straight.
Right.
Now, soccer coaches, they're too sexy. I want just a fucking, hairy-backed, 300 pound.
Yeah.
You know, used to be the starting guard at the same high school, and then everybody thought he was going to go pro, but everybody acts like, oh, he did us a solid. He's coming back to coach.
They need two-a-days. Two-a-days?
No, they got those monkey bars. I think they're working them a lot.
Four-a-day.
What we need is Doritos. And a coach to get
Gatorade.
In their face. And, Gatorade. Yeah, they make them feel like they're low on electrolytes because of the desert.
Right.
But all that sugar will just weigh them down and make them just want to sit and smoke weed and binge watch Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a little moment of the week.
Yes.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it. All right, Paco is... properly taking his Instagram photos, call_of_Dooley, if you want to see those in-studio shots.
Yes.
And you go ahead and go, my friend.
Well, here's the thing. I've forgotten. Oh, here it is. Yeah. No, I remember.
You said I've forgotten and looked around like you'd forgotten where you were. That's
that's coming.
We'll have you home soon, Father.
I think I mentioned, I don't know if it was earlier. I'm a little confused because we're bashing them out.
We've done 4 weeks or 2 weeks of shows in 3 days.
Right. Diego was going as a guest to his girlfriend's graduation. She's a senior. He's a junior. They did the prom a couple of weeks ago.
That's where they had the swingers thing with her parents is what I remember.
Yes,
is that correct?
Yes, exactly. So, anyway, he came to me a couple of days before and he was saying, you know, I think I'm going to need some new clothes. And I said, oh, okay. Because he'd recently kind of changed his style. And basically it was, he added an overshirt to the t-shirt, but it really didn't make a difference.
No,
and,
I know it does.
And he got some frames.
But the only way I relate to that is comedians do that a lot, myself included. Where it's like, I'm a dad. Why am I wearing a button up shirt? I should wear a baseball tee and cargo pants.
Yeah, right.
You know, overthinking it, you know.
But and I don't know how much the new girl had to do with him changing his look.
Everything,
probably everything. In any case, and he's styling now, but he wants to expand that a little bit. And I said, okay. He says, you know, for now. And I said, but is some of this for like school? He goes, yeah. I said, well. The school stuff should wait until school time because you'll grow out of everything over the summer or whatever. So, but
they still grow that fast at age, really?
Well, I mean, who knows? I don't want to buy them.
I never would have thought.
I want them to go in with stuff that hasn't been wrinkled and stuffed in a bottom of a whatever.
Yeah, everybody else is all pristine and shiny, and then he comes in all faded.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and not in the drunk way that the kids are saying.
So I said yes to the clothes, and then what it turned out to be was. That he wanted to have some dress clothes because he was going to this graduation. He wanted to look nice.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, that's cool. And so then I agreed to that step of it. And then that became, you see how he works it? Is he always gets you to say something simple and then he makes it slightly more complicated?
He's listening. Yeah. He might want to look at law school this
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, right.
Or some kind of real estate.
Or sales of some sales, kind. Yeah. So that turned into I want a suit. Eventually became I want a suit. So, and I think you're going to like a lot of this story. There's a lot of the story you're going to enjoy. So I said, you know what? Fine. Let's go look and see what's out there, what it is. And Luna, this is over Memorial Day weekend. She goes, guys, there's having a sale at the Men's Warehouse. Get over there. So, so I go, okay, fine. We'll go to the Men's Warehouse. And, we go over to the Men's Warehouse and explain, you know, that mostly it's 2-for-1. And so I'm mostly like him. Yeah, exactly. Mostly he wants to, you know, I say, just tell her what you want.
If I'm going to get two, I might as well get three.
And so he explains the color he's interested in and some of what the thing is. And so she finds a gray jacket for him and she gets his sizes and she throws him into and he looks very sharp. And we put on a couple of jackets, but very early in the beginning, there was one of them in particular that he liked a lot. And it has a corresponding pair of slacks, but he's only putting on the jacket in the store. And so he likes it. He's like, yeah, this is a good one. So on and so forth. Well, it's a Calvin Klein and it's $650.
Oh, jeez.
And
2 for 1, Pops.
Two for one. I said, yes. I'm not thrilled about a $350 or $300 suit, $325. You know, it's just going to break down per suit. But I'm not sure that's what I thought would be walking out the door when we left. You know, I was thinking of being down a couple bills, but not that far.
Yeah.
And I said, we really do need to maybe check out some other places and see if.
Just for the sake of fleshing out the whole story, what would be the most expensive suit you own?
I don't own a suit.
Perfect. Yeah.
I used to have some sport coats.
That's right.
I used to have some sport coats, but I don't anymore. And none of them were more than maybe $100, $150, $200, something like that. So we then headed over to the Macy's Sears, 1-2 punch of the mall downtown. I said, let's start at Macy's. Let's not drop right down to Sears to begin with. We'll pop into Macy's.
We're going
to
ease our way into settling.
Yeah. And he had some very specific ideas about what he wanted for a checked shirt. The gowns are red. So he wanted something with red and then a red tie. A checked shirt and a red tie. So anyway, we went over there. And so we started looking at some other gray suits and we sort of going down that path. And he found one. We found one that was like... I said $350 on the label. I'm like, well, this is closer to what I was talking about. Not really what I'm in the mood for, because it's not just that. Now you're talking about shirts.
Yeah.
And
he's still growing. It's not like this is a suit he can have. I mean, I still have the suit that I got married in.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that cost me $300. Granted, I look like Don Johnson in it, but.
So there's a possibility he may grow out of it. And so there's a little bit of a nervousness there. But in any case, so we find one there that's the cut is very similar to the Calvin Klein, and it's this color is very similar too. He's like, it doesn't feel as good though, and I'm like, well, that's the difference between $350 and $650, and because they could order a second Calvin Klein for him, same style, everything in blue, and then he would have had he would have been twice as happy. So he's really just fallen in love with that idea of not only one, but two suits, and that they're the Calvin Klein, which he likes so much. I don't think he cared about the label part of it as much.
No, it was just the feel of the suit. And it looks good. Yeah.
It was the first thing he saw himself in.
I think it's like wine. There are people that can taste wine and go, oh, this is really good. And they can appreciate the fact that it's only $20 as opposed to $80.
Right,
But I would venture to guess that you and I are not the guys who could look at a suit and go, that's a shitty suit. That's a great suit.
That's a great suit. No, I wouldn't have any idea. Yeah. Other than by, if you told me it's by this person or that person.
Yeah, then you
But even then, there'll be ones that are like the world class suits, and I wouldn't recognize the name because you never hear them on the radio. Mm-hmm.
You need to find those Hong Kong people that are always like, hey, we're in your town this week. We're coming back.
Yeah, right.
You can have a Calvin Mine suit is what you need.
Yeah, right. Calvin Klein, but spelled, with a K on Calvin and a C on Klein. So he found something that was the color and so on and so forth. He put it on. I thought it looked good. And we dummied up a shirt and a tie combination. And while he was in there trying it on, I walked over to the thing and I saw what the price was. Because there wasn't a price on it whatever. We didn't know. And I could see, they're having a sale. So when he came out and we looked at it, we took a little picture of him. He took it off. And this big debate is still going on. I'm also calling Luna and I'm going... He has a little bank account. I'm like, how much is in his account? Because if he wants this, we're going to have to talk about how much is in his account.
Yeah.
If he wants to go back over with this Calvin Klein. And how much was she thinking we would spend on this? And I just wanted to know where I was at as part of the team. So he came out, and I already now knew how much it was, and I knew how much he had in the bank. And not including, like, birthday cash and cards. He's got, stuff under the mattress, too. Untold wealth. So
he's a depression era kid.
Yeah, well, seriously.
When he doesn't have a mattress, he's sleeping in a hammock.
Figurative
mattress.
Yeah, it's
my apologies.
It's under the dog.
I forgot.
Yeah.
It's the dog's keystring.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's rolled it up and put it into a little, one of those things you travel.
Kong? Toy Kong is what I think. Butt plug for an animal.
You put your toothbrush in when you're traveling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of those. It's filled with the hundreds.
Nutjob Allen says thrift shops. Then you can listen to the Macklemore song.
Right. Well, and I was saying to him that would be another option. He was like, I'm getting tired, So he tried on.
Dad, I'm tired. I think it's $600 or nothing at this point.
Tried on two suits. So he came out with
it's
it. He had it.
Not life.
Yeah. So I said, I'm going to keep looking for shirts because maybe there's a shirt here that you like. I said, what I want you to do is I want you to take that over to the register and find out from the guy how much it is. Now, I knew what the answer was, or I wanted to double check my answer, but I also wanted him to participate in determining how much it was. So he comes back to me. I've actually found some other options for shirts and stuff. And he says, well, you know, what he told me is going to make you very happy and it's going to make me sad, he says. Because he, meaning because it's low.
Is it like a preemptive guilt trip?
Well, yeah, because he already knew as soon as the words came out of the guy's, if the guy had said, that's a $700 suit, son, then he's in.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go, well, that's too much. $650 is a deal if you're getting two for one. The guy comes out with $180.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So I knew you'd like that.
Dun, 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 dun. Come on down.
Right. Now, he knows from experience that I can, that I'm not, like, my initial reaction isn't always what I go with. For example, there's no way you're going to the beach house for, you know, thing. And then eventually he does that because I've worked my way to it. So he's still working on that, hoping that. So what I do is the next thing. So he's got it. It's 180 and we found a good tie for him and so on. And so then I say, okay, so here's the deal. I said, I know you're still interested in the Calvin Klein. I know you're interested in maybe getting more than one suit. Here's the thing. We can do the Calvin Klein and the more than one suit over at the warehouse, but you are going to have to spend every penny you have saved to do it. It's going to empty your bank account. He had $350 in his bank account. It's going to empty that and possibly even some of the money you have around the room to help, because that's just the suit. It's not the shirt.
Yeah.
It's not the belt he needs. It's not all these other things. And I said, so
somebody already mentioned a bow tie of some kind.
So eventually we'll go in on it together. And it won't hurt me any more than it hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a long pause and he goes, I like this one.
The 180 one?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And inside I was making that cheering inside, and I was just thinking about you and how you would have loved the fact that when faced with the
right,
the you know, it sounds like you need a job, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. So isn't it interesting? Because here's how, this is why you're better. You go, okay, good, win, walk away.
Right.
Me, I have to now drive, like rubbing a dog's nose in its own crap. I go, interesting, when the money's coming out of your pocket, how all of a sudden the cheap one fits super, super well.
Well,
isn't that interesting?
That's true. Yes. I was happy with me not just going, nope, that's it, bump, 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 yeah, which is really probably what you would have done.
Yeah.
Is that I let him figure out for himself.
Oh, no, I would have let
what
him.
What a bad idea.
I would have let him walk the path.
Right. Keeping in mind that
I'm all about financial walkabouts.
Right. Keeping in mind that neither of those Calvin Klein suits might fit him 3 months or a year from now or whatever. So you start to go, oh, maybe that's not the best place to
right,
put the money.
Exactly.
And so he ended
that's
up.
That's awesome.
I posted some of those pictures for the listeners and whatnot
on
already.
Your Instagram?
So some of that. No, it was in the Paco Lancini Facebook page.
Facebook. All right.
He looks fantastic. And he went out last night and had a great time.
Bucket of handsome.
Yes. It all worked out very well. But just that moment where he went, oh, yeah, I got to get this one. So it isn't like a heartwarming thing, but it was like, hey, I actually fathered in a way that it all ended up the way it was supposed to.
No, that's heartwarming. Yeah. Maybe you're talking to the wrong Scrooge McDuck over here. But I found that very touching. I love that stuff where it's like, because that's, there was a mom that I recently hung out with that said, I got my 16-year-old a job. And she was like, I don't know. She felt weird that she was proud. I go, no, that's
a good thing.
That's a win. That's leaving the nest bullshit. That is great stuff.
And then I said, and at these prices, we can easily get two.
Right.
And he was too tired.
He was too tired. Yeah.
The whole thing had been too exhausting to continue looking.
Shopping is it's a hard knock life, like you said. Anyway. So for me, what happened was I can't remember how it necessarily came about, but the kids started saying they wanted to ride their bike. And so we went on a walk where the kids were on the bike and I was walking the dog and Natalie and I are behind them while they're riding bikes. And I noticed that when Jacob would kind of pick up speed, I had started to slowly raise the training wheels to where they were at their highest setting.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would cook along and the training wheels weren't touching.
Yeah.
So when we came back home, I said, you know, son, I said, you're not really using the training wheels when you're actually riding the bike. Now, for people who don't know, because maybe I don't talk about this aspect of Jacob a lot, but Jacob, what he has inherited from me is that he does not like to be told what to do per se. He really likes for it to be his idea.
Yeah, so well, he should go suit shopping with me.
Exactly. He wants it's just this weird thing where. Or not he wants it to be his idea. I guess that's a bit, it makes him seem douchey to me, but it's more that, it's more that he just wants to do it on his terms. Like, that's what he feels comfortable with, if that makes sense.
I get it.
And so he goes, I'm gently pitching this out to him, where I said, hey, we could take off the training wheels. Does that sound interesting to you? And he kind of thinks about it, and he's like, yeah, I'm on board. So I'm right. Like, great.
Cool.
So then we go pick up Jack the next day. And I said, well, we'll do it over the summer. Like, cause I never taught a kid to ride a bike. It's an adventure of some kind.
Yes.
So we go pick up Jack earlier this week. I think it was Tuesday when this happened. We went on a walk on Memorial Day. Yeah. So we go out. And Jack says, can we ride bikes when we get home? And I said, sure. So we get a block away from the house, and I noticed it again. I said, Jacob, do you want to take your training wheels off today?
Yeah.
And he goes, sure. So we go back to the house. I take the training wheels off, and I kind of have a little powwow with him, because I know that he gets emotional about this kind of stuff when he doesn't nail it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so he says, I said to him, I go, son, listen. I go, we're going to go do this. I said, and I'm going to help you. And I said, but I got to be honest with you. You're going to fail. I said this. I go, you're going to fall. And I said, I don't think you'll get hurt. I will laugh at you. I will shame you. No, I said, I don't think you're going to get hurt. I said, but it might get frustrating. I said, and what you have to remember is, and I asked him, I said, have you ever done this before? Have you ever ridden a bike without training wheels? And he said, no.
Right.
I said, so do you think it makes sense for you just to start riding a bike right out of the box? And he said, no. I said, you get it? He goes, yeah, I'm going to mess up. I said, yes.
Yeah.
And I said, the important part is that you did the cliche of like, you keep going. And he's like, okay.
Right.
So I kind of walking him around. And I'm walking with him, and Jack is trying to keep up, and then he kind of starts pedaling, and I have my hand on his back, and I'm realizing, like, he's kind of doing it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Isn't that cool? That's, you go,
yeah.
Like, you feel that moment.
I was like, holy crap. And so I said, Jacob, I'm not holding you up. This is all you. And he kind of smiles, and so I kind of let my, but as soon as I broke contact, he starts overthinking it. Yeah. Now he's jerking the wheel and all this stuff. And so,
is that a euphemism?
Yeah. Okay. I said, pull your shorts up. And so we go around the corner, and there's like a grassy open area in front of the school that is flat, and I thought this will be, not that I think it would hurt, it would hurt a little less
all the way on the other side,
but I think it would get him out of his head of worrying about skinning his knee on concrete.
That's what
I thought. So we get Jack, of course, is doing his Jack thing of like, you're trying to have a moment with my older brother, let me proceed now. This is my cue to throw a fit and try to shit on whatever parental thing you're trying to do. Now, this could also be me putting this on him, but
no, that
was him. It's a reoccurring pattern.
Yeah.
So I kind of said, you know what, Jack, sit your ass over there. It's not about you right now, my friend.
Right.
So we go about it, and we're doing it. And so I did the thing where I got the hand on the kind of the back of the seat, but I'm kind of holding him.
Yeah.
And I kind of jog alongside
him. It's miserable for your lower back. It's the worst possible.
I was lucky because I only, literally, first time I kind of jog along, boom, he goes.
Oh, wow.
And he goes for a good 15, 20 feet. Like,
okay.
It wasn't until he ran out of space. If he could have kept going.
Yeah.
But then he kind of stopped and like put both of his feet down. And I said, look at you. Holy crap.
Right.
That was it. You did it, man. Like, and so he's kind of like, haha. And I'm like jumping around like an animal. Like, I'm freaking out at how amazing this is, you know?
Like, it's a super, you're on the sidelines at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's going to win a Nobel Prize for bike riding. You know, like, so he turns around, I turn him around, and so then I kind of start, I'm giving him some tips, and then I go, okay, and it's hard for me because I do like to push. I like to try to, okay, now what can we do? We did that. Now what can we do?
Yeah.
And usually that's when he kind of digs his heels in, but I said, do you want to try starting? And so he's like, sure. And because I'm like, maybe that's even harder. I've never done this. So I kind of point him through. I said, the important part is, I said, you put this foot down, you push really hard with the other foot, and you go. And so he goes in, and I have to interrupt this. I'm so sorry because I think it's a very big deal, and a lot of people are big fans of his on the show. Butcher Drew has just closed on his house is moving out of his in-laws. So a round of applause for Butcher Drew. We couldn't be happier for you, buddy. No more in-laws for you. You did it, my friends. Well done, Drew. Oh, I imagine him. This is, I'm the luckiest day of man alive, alive.
Asshole.
And so
he is going to get some of the great tail.
Oh, my gosh. The next few fucking weeks. In every room yeah, that he's
exactly,
going to do.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I don't know how many years he's been in there. Moment of the week for Drew. Just all the, just, oh, honey, there's a washer. Let's bend over real quick. I'm just going to get you there. Even better. No, this is it. Come over here, honey. Get on the bed. Get on the washer. Here we go. All right, now. Okay, I'm almost done. Get on the futon. Get on the futon. Oh, my God. I don't know why we have a futon. What? There's no couch. I don't care. I'm doing it on the floor. I'm doing it. The kid will sleep. The kids will sleep. What? Backyard. Let's go backyard. Here we go backyard.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Oh, good time. So, anyway, so back to, you know, so now I get him to start. He starts, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And I am, to be quite honest with you, I will apologize. I think I'll be fine, but I apologize in advance if I get emotional on this. I am known to cry. And, but he, I'm really swelling with pride
yeah.
at this moment. Not because it's, I don't really, my dad said, what a cool thing for you. Yeah. But are you prepping to take a picture of me crying? It's going to solidify it not happening. But anyway, so my dad even said, he goes, how cool of a thing for you to be able to teach him. And I was like, you know, Dad, I got to be honest with you. It wasn't really about, he took to it. Like, he just did it. But the big thing was, is that the interaction I have with him all too often is me trying to say, this is what I think you should do.
Yeah.
And him kind of like, almost like a teenager, I would imagine, is like, no, no, I got it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to do it the way you, and I was very much like that as a kid. And I think I'm very much like that as an adult. But anyway, so I'm doing the thing and I keep saying, I'm like, Jacob, this is really cool. And then he stumbles a little bit and he starts to get a little frustrated. And so I get close to him and I said, son, I said, there is no part of this that you are allowed to not be proud of yourself. I said, what you have done here. And I said, I am not exaggerating. I said, what you have done here to me is honestly amazing. I said, it is a big deal for you just to boom, take to it. I said, so sure, you might have moments where it's hard. I said, but you've already done so much. I said, and I get it because I'm a lot like you in this sense. I said, but you have to let yourself feel good about yourself for what you did. I said, this is awesome stuff, right? So we do this. Jack starts his whining again, and it's getting close to time. And so I go, okay, let's go back home.
Yeah.
So we're walking back home, and he wants to ride his bike home. And Jessica got me, you bitch. She said, oh, Justin's so sweet. He was riding his bike home and he took, he turned, I saw him get off and he turned, and he rode it all the way home.
Yeah.
And so we, would you fucking take a picture of me, motherfucker? The, so he took, put his bike away.
Yeah.
Or he was coming to put his bike away. I put Jack's bike away and he wanted to keep kind of riding and he goes, sorry. He's,
that's all right.
I came back and I said, I'm so proud of you. And,
it's okay. It's okay.
You become like a Lamaze coach whenever I do.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Breathe. Let it out. This makes you closer to having a vagina. I come up and I said, I'm so proud of you. And I got overwhelmed even in that moment. I said, what you did was absolutely incredible. And I got welled up and then the poor pastor started crying himself.
Oh.
And I go, I'm sorry. I said, why are you crying? I go, are you crying because I'm crying? He goes, yes. And so for a nanosecond, you think that we're having this kind of what is stereotypically called a girly moment. You know what
I mean? Right.
But what you realize is that your 6-year-old son goes, why is daddy crying? Because he has no idea of emotional spectrum that reads tears are good.
Right.
I said, no. I said, I know this is weird. I said, but I go, I'm happy. I go, these are happy tears because I'm so unbelievably proud of you. I go, what you did today, I go, you know that you get hung up on being afraid of things. And I said, you had no fear. And I said, you just went after it. And I said, I know that it's probably hard for you to understand this. I said, but to me, this is a key to life, is that if you can learn to look at something that is scary or hard and just fucking push right through it, there's nothing you can't do. And I said, so I'm just unbelievably proud of you. And I said, and I'm sorry if I ruined it for you by crying. It's just that I love you and I'm very proud of you. And he goes, it's okay.
It's much like me.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. But what was great too is that, so then we do the thing where, Natalie's going to get off work in an hour, so we go back to the school. He wanted to do it again. So I take him. Right. He was having a hard time in our narrower sidewalk. So I took him back to school where he was excelling. And so I sent Natalie an email at work saying, when you come home, come down this side of the school. So I wanted her to drive. I have a surprise for you.
Right.
Now, she had no idea. This, right. Like, so she thought maybe
this doesn't end with her hitting him, does it?
No, okay. Not yet. With the car. How great would that be? If this was a Fairly Brothers movie. So anyway, so she comes around the corner and she's like, she sees him because he's doing circles. He's doing like figure eights. Right, he's doing great, you know. She comes up and she goes, look at that. And then she looks at me and I'm trying to, you know, maintain. But then she sees me trying, and then she gets red in the eyes. I go, no, don't.
Oh my God, that's
she's
awesome.
She's like, oh, okay. Like, right. Stuff. And so she gave him a big hug and a kiss and he was all happy and everything. So we come back home and I ordered pizza to celebrate and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And, so we're there. And the whole time I keep saying like, man, I can't believe it, Jacob. I go, that is awesome what you did. I'm so happy for you. And then he comes home. She goes, I can't believe you're riding a bike. And it was cute because he goes, Dad cried. She goes, he did. He goes, yeah. And then I cried too. And I said, yeah. I go, Dad was really proud. He goes, they were happy tears though. It was okay.
It's okay. And, he knows all about that now.
Yeah. I just love this modern era of parenting where like the idea of any of us imagining their father shedding some kind of tear while they're 5 years old is just so completely disconnected. And yet all of these kids have to deal with these poor emotionally baggaged dads. And I'm so proud of you, son.
Right.
You're riding a bicycle.
I flashed on this picture of you. Maybe it's 3, 4, 5 years from now. Divorced.
Yeah.
Living in a shitty, you know, one bedroom, like a studio style apartment. There's no podcast. You're working as a bagger at the grocery store. And
every internet celebrity has their fault.
Right. And you're sitting on the edge of the bed. And he's looking at you and you're going, happy tears. Happy tears.
trying to
convince him that it's still all okay.
And he's just like, Dad, it's come on. We all know.
We all know.
We all know. Suck it up, you pussy. Remember when you tell me that?
He's going to say, who pays for this? Yeah. Who pays for all this? Dad, it's me.
Dad, you're going to have to pay the rent or we're going to have to ask you to leave. Cindy won't let you stay here any longer. I really support her in this decision. I mean, I know you're on hard times, but Dad, I think you would agree.
Show a little backbone, Dad. That is terrific.
Now, that was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, you're part of the, yes, you said that.
No,
you,
no, it's okay. Listen, this is why I go first.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to step on any of that. I will step all over it the next time we get together.
Okay. Well, you can now. Why not?
Well, because it was just lovely.
It's going to be done like a week away by the time we do it. Okay, we're already in an hour and a half.
No one's going to care.
A couple minutes.
Okay. Because I didn't see the end of this exciting everything.
Well, you saw the beginning of
it.
You?
I saw the beginning of it.
Oh, okay.
I saw you guys going back and forth here,
mm-hmm.
in front of your house, essentially, and so from my view and my understanding
from
of
the
you,
bushes, I see.
It was it was not it was not as beautiful as it was from your side. It's actually all very good. So, and I feel a little bit better that there was another neighbor watching who came out and made some comments.
See, this is what for the listeners. This is what it is to be me. And maybe this is why I've gotten emails from people who say that they feel like they're alone, because on day two, Jacob had already proven he could ride a bike. He'd ridden it back. So I was not running alongside with him because I knew. So day two, I'm standing like arms crossed, looking like Mufasa or some kind of circle of life motherfucker who's like only the strong ones, or, you know, a Native American father who throws his son into a 3-foot pond and says, swim, bitch, swim.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm sitting there arms crossed in the front yard and he's kind of struggling to try and get it going again. And the nice neighbor lady comes out and she's like, oh, like, she's like smiling. She's like, ugh. And then that's when the guy came out. But I had already gotten back and was kind of running along with him at that point just to get him caught back up. But
I think I was on day one of all this or whatever. What I was seeing was the pep talk at the beginning, the down on one knee going, you know, this is the first time, you can't expect to, you know, fly right here, blah, blah, blah. And all of that stuff that you described very well. But from my side, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I just see what's going on. So,
your perception of me is that, listen, you're going to get on this fucking bike. Otherwise, you will have failed me. You will have failed your mother and all of us.
It looks like he's
crying.
You need
a bike if you're going to ride to your fucking job. You understand me, you little shit?
Yes, exactly. It looks like he's crying. He's doing this, sort of wiping his nose and his eye. Yeah. Good, great way to get pink eye, by the way. You can look forward to that in a day or two. And then he goes, you know, you're going back and forth. And I keep looking at you going, Justin, you asshole, what are you doing?
Because, how dare you?
No, but listen, it was a process in my mind.
Because, no, this is what it is. People never look at me in judgment and paint me with a good brush. It's always like, you motherfucker.
You have to listen to the whole story.
No, I don't.
I won't take that long with it.
All right.
Because he it looked like he kept careening into the fence.
Yeah.
And then he'd reset in front of the same fence and careen into it again. And I went, oh, I see. It's like Yoda. It's like Zen type shit that he's doing. In Justin's mind, there's always going to be a fence in life.
Yes.
You're going to fucking learn to ride the bike in front of the fence you keep crashing into.
Yes.
Until you don't crash into the fence anymore.
Yes.
I said, that's perfectly Justin. It never occurred to me you'd go around to the other side, which, by the way, is where I taught my kid to ride his bike, where he could fall in at least one direction in relative safety.
Here's the thing. I think, in all honesty, I am not a complete dick, but right. I am also not, another way of saying, like, I'm not one of the listeners in the chat room said bubble wrap kids. I'm not a bubble wrap dad. That's what Bill used to call himself, a bubble. I'm not that in that.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and what you don't see because you're in your house or in the bushes of my house in some kind of ghillie suit, but that is that I say to him, I go, okay, when you got to think, don't look at where you don't want to go.
I
said, look at where you want to go. And I think that those struggles, because that's what builds true self-esteem, is that when he gets to overcome that. I had so many examples of this in my kid, and I don't even know if most of them were intentional from my father. I just know it was the same kind of thing I'm trying to repeat, where he just kind of let you go out there and figure it out.
Right.
That it built up my self-esteem, even as low as it is now. I could only imagine what it would be if I did not have those opportunities to overcome those obstacles on my own, without him there to bail me out. One of my favorite things, because now I get it, but when I first learned of it and realized it, that frustrated was when my dad watched me pay probably, there was a car that was $3,000 or best offer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what best offer meant was like 25, 28. But what I thought is I could get in a bidding war with some other fucker that needs this beat up 76 GMC Jimmy. I'm not going to get beat out. This is the car of my dreams. It's my first car. I'll give you
$3,500.
No less. No more.
No
I won't
more.
Go any higher.
Right.
And the
then
guy
500
like,
more than you're asking.
Exactly. The guy doing a look over the shoulder to see my dad. And I imagine my dad with his arms crossed like I was in the front yard. Also being judged by the lady next door and him going like kind of giving a tilt of the head like it is what it is. And the
That's
guy going,
funny.
Okay, I guess you have a deal.
Well, I'm trying to look for a tweet that I did, which was what I said was in this tweet. It's going back to the watching you is that it says, I don't know, but sometimes when I'm looking out my front window and watching my neighbor with his kids and taking pictures, I somehow feel a little creepy. Was the tweet that I put out. And so I want to let you know that pep talk moment, you can get 8x10s of that if you want.
Okay,
it.
Fair enough. Okay. Good. That was the other thing that happened was that while we're doing it, because it was just me, I had both kids, so we're doing it. And then all of a sudden I realized I was so wrapped up.
You're
not
getting it.
There's no video. So I did. Then I whipped out my phone and took some video of him riding around and stuff like that. But yeah, good times.
That was a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing.
No problem. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. You can give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Leave us a voicemail at 877-222-8323. We are looking for questions for Dr. J. He is our next expert to be on, so send those in if you got him. He's a pediatrician for anybody new to listening to the show. We're taking a week off, so if you're hearing this, how about this, Justin? Why don't you look at a motherfucking calendar? We will be back recording live Tuesday, June 9th at, I might be lying. That is a good thing we did this.
If you are new to the show and you don't know Dr. J, it's not like having a regular pediatrician.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
He is an on-the-edge.
He likes to go to strip clubs, and he's a straight shooter, as I like to say.
He tells it like it is.
Yeah.
So, a lot of fun.
What I wanted to say is that on Tuesday, June 9th, we are going to have John Mangum, who you may remember from Whose Line Is It Anyway? He is also kind of the sidekick for Let's Make a Deal with Wayne Brady.
Oh, cool.
So he's going to be right here in studio having that show. So that is 7 p.m. Pacific Tuesday night. And then we'll be back, I believe, to our early day recordings. Yes, at 10 a.m. on June 12th. And those are all Pacific times. You can listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. If you're listening to this in front of a computer, or on your phone right now, Mangum style. That's funny, Butchie Drew. Congratulations on the house. But anyway, The if you're listening, you could go to mixlr.com/dadpodcast and you can click to follow us. And what you do is you get an email. You have to register. It's just an email and a password. But then you get an email whenever we go live. And I always go live about 20 minutes before we actually go live to give everybody a chance to tune in and all that stuff. And now Paco is going to tell us about the fantastic Amazon banner.
Oh, so you want to help our podcast out, but you don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to go to our website. That's right, our website. I said it. And you're going to scroll down to the bottom, and you are going to click through to the Amazon site through the Amazon banner, which you will find on the aforementioned website. And you're going to, sorry about that. And you are going to bookmark that. And every time you go back to Amazon with that bookmark and you buy something, it's going to cost you nothing. That's right. It's going to cost you nothing. And it's going to mean the world to us. And that is what you're going to do.
There you go. On behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, everyone.